All this week on Morning Edition, we've been taking a look at New Hampshire's expanding charter school movement. It's a series we call A Growing Choice. Charter schools are publicly funded, and the state now has 25 of them. And this morning, we conclude our series by looking at the national charter school movement. Education Week reporter Ariana Prothero covers charter school issues, and she joins us now.
Good morning, Rick.
Ariana, can you give us the national charter school picture? You know, what kind of growth are we seeing nationwide?
You know, charter schools have been around for almost 25 years now. And nationally, we see about 2.5 million charter school students and around 6,000 charter schools. And what we hear a lot of times from charter school supporters is that there's still a lot of demand for more charter schools, that there are about a million students on wait lists for charter schools.
Despite all the growth, there's still a lot of pushback to charter schools as well. And what are critics saying?
A lot of times what they say is that charter schools do not serve all students, so that charter schools are really, you know, and again, this is the critic's message, that charter schools are failing to serve students with disabilities or special needs or English language learners, and that that can sometimes bump up the academic gains that charter schools are making in comparison to traditional district schools.
So what is the response from charter school backers to that?
The rebuttal is often that, you know, charter schools are serving low-income students, minority students in urban areas, and that they do try to meet the needs and serve all students, although charter advocates will still acknowledge that there are bad actors in the field that maybe are not serving the right amount of students with special needs, but that overall that is a problem that exists in a few areas and is not representative of the sector as a whole.
Has there been any solid research on the performance of students at charters compared to traditional public schools?
Education research tends to be a pretty contested field. A lot of people kind of throw their weight behind Credo, the Center for Education Outcomes, which is based at Stanford in California. And what Credo has found is that charters on average don't significantly, and this is on average across the country, that charters don't significantly outperform district schools, that they do about the same. However, there are pockets that do well, specifically in urban areas. So some of the urban areas you might see with charter schools that are outperforming their district peers are, say, Boston, Newark, San Francisco, New York. However, there are also cases and instances of charter sectors that are not performing their district peers. Examples of that, again, this is according to Credo, would be Las Vegas, Fort Worth, Texas, Phoenix, places like that.
How much does funding play into this? I know charter schools here in the Granite State say that with limited funding, you know, they have a hard time holding on to like quality teachers and so on. I mean, what do we know about funding in various states and how that affects outcomes?
Overall, charter schools do receive less funding than district schools. And where I think less funding really hurts the charter school sector is in terms of facilities. It is really hard for charter schools to get school buildings. And that can create a lot of problems in terms of outcomes. You know, if your school is moving every year, that's tough on students. If you're crammed into a church basement, that can be hard to attract students and also hard to attract quality staff. But I think that's where the main area where you see charter school funding negatively impacting, or sorry, the lack of charter school funding negatively impacting charter schools.
Looking at another part of the country, the Washington Supreme Court recently ruled that that state's charter school law was unconstitutional. I'm wondering what kind of impact that could have, you know, nationally.
Probably not a lot. You know, every state constitution is different. And in Washington, basically what its state constitution says is that it defines a public school as a school that has an elected school board. Now, charter schools don't really have elective school boards. They have appointed school boards because they're basically run by nonprofits. And so the Washington State Supreme Court said because charter schools don't have elected school boards, they technically don't count as public schools and therefore are not allowed to get public funding. And because they're not allowed to get public funding, there's really no way they can operate. That's not necessarily the case in every state. And I think it's important to note that not only is every state constitution different, many states have had charter laws for well over a decade that have already been challenged and have already challenged in their court system, and they have survived those challenges. That said, I know there are charter school critics that are looking at the Washington State Supreme Court decision very closely to see if there's anything that could apply in their state.
A recent federal monitoring review raised some concerns about New Hampshire's oversight of charter school finances. And what kind of issues are we seeing when it comes to oversight of charter schools across the nation? You talked about how, you know, some weak oversight in some states and some districts may lead to different outcomes.
Absolutely. So, again, this comes down to charter law and how your law, the law is written for each state. And it is important to note that each state has its own charter law and that they can vary quite a bit. So some states don't have a lot of restrictions written into their law regarding how much financial data or how much financial information charter schools have to keep and or share. So some states that have come under a lot of fire for having these, you know, weaker laws would be Ohio, I think, would be the primary example. One where there's not a lot of oversight of charter schools and where there have been several instances of charter schools behaving badly and generating pretty negative headlines. Now, that's not all charter schools in Ohio, but there's been enough that it's raised a lot of scrutiny in that state of the charter sector.
New Hampshire now has 25 charter schools around the state, but really only a handful of those are in rural areas. Is that a common problem you're seeing in other parts of the country?
That is a common problem. I mean, you know, I think charter school advocates would say it's a problem. Critics would say it's not a problem. But it is hard for charter schools to really take root in rural areas. I mean, it's hard, you know, for the simple fact that there's just not that many students and they tend to be pretty spread apart. So all of the issues that you would, you know, that the charter school sector struggles with are really exacerbated in rural areas. It's even harder to find facilities. It's harder to find students, and competition and maybe pushback from your local district schools is going to be tougher because, again, more competition for fewer bodies.
Arianna Prothero is a reporter for Education Week. She joined Morning Edition to talk about charter schools nationwide. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Rick.